This is Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Money in sports. It's one of the reasons why I enjoy being on Monday Night Countdown with ESPN is to talk about some of the more interesting aspects of business of sports. There's all kinds of cool questions, so this is a fun topic for me.
The country is finally deeply getting the memo about how amazing this sport is. I think the sky's the limit for MLS.
Increasingly, we're spending more and more of our time in a digital world, and it's also becoming a really powerful place for commerce.
It is so nice to be back and to be able to have fans back in the building. So despite the chaotic schedule, this is why we do what we do.
Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Block.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Mike Lynch.
Coming up today, we have a jam-packed show. We catch up with two-time Super Bowl-winning MVP Eli Manning and get his take on the NFL season, a possible role in the Giants front office, and his new gig as partner of private equity firm BVP.
This is not an endorsement. You know, we're on chats. We're on calls as a group. I'm on calls with other companies, you know, hearing their stories, talking to CEOs and presidents, and then discussing with BVP whether this looks like a good fit, if we think we could grow the company.
That's straight ahead on the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. But first, let's look at some of the top stories of the week. And since we are all NFL-y, let's talk about the NFL viewership. It's still king. It climbed 10% as the close game, Scarlett, are bringing fans back.
Yeah, and it puts to rest this idea that the NFL was losing its mojo that we started seeing in 2016, which, by the way, was an election year, and we saw ratings kind of steadily decline in a couple years after that. There was, of course, the controversy over players kneeling during the national anthem. There's all kinds of cultural war discussions. But now it looks like the game, the drama that the game provides, is putting the NFL back in the top spot, and I'm sure owners and broadcasters are breathing a huge sigh of relief.
Oh, yeah. And Lynchy, one of the things the league was saying, that even though the drama and comedies on traditional TV, the ratings are falling, NFL games dominate.
They've got some great matchups and some great storylines. Can Tom Brady win another Super Bowl at age 44? Aaron Rodgers has become a polarizing figure now. Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, the most entertaining team in football. The Cowboys are back in the playoffs. They're America's team, America's most popular team. Bill Belichick has the Patriots back in the playoffs. Can they make a run at the Super Bowl? And you've got the Rams, a big city from Los Angeles. So despite not having any teams from New York City, dig, in the playoffs, the ratings...
Knew that was coming.
And the other thing, don't discount the influence of legalized betting. That keeps people glued to the TV, not just for who's going to win the game or beat the point spread, the over-under. There's all kinds of prop bets, and people are hanging around to the end of games and watching games that they might not be interested in did they not have a little bit of a coin on the game.
Oh, yeah. And plus, too, a lot of people now are in playoff pools where you have to pick players to see how far and how many points they score and this and that, whatever. So you got that going and that revenue going, Scarlett. That's why the NFL is huge.
It's huge, and I'm glad, Lynch, you brought up the Cowboys. Their games made up 5 of the top 10 highest-rated broadcasts of the season. I'm not a big fan of the Cowboys, but I can see how anyone who is involved in the business of football would be a huge fan.
Speaking of football, unfortunately, we'll move on to the next story, but I got to bring up a lot of coaches have been shown the door in the past several days after the end of the regular season. That includes the New York Giants, Joe Judge, and also Lynchy, GM Dave Gettleman.
Yeah, and that one was not too much of a surprise to people because the Giants have just been flatlining for the last couple of years under both of them. Gettleman's had been around with some great teams. I'm interested to hear what Eli's take is on that. Brian Flores, the one down in Florida, that surprised me. They won 7 games in a row. They finished above 500. They beat the Patriots twice, and he was shown the door by owner Steve Ross. I'm not sure that was a great move, but Black Monday is always a very unpleasant day around the day after the National Football League regular season ends.
And there's something else from football in the pros to college football, Scarlett, and it involves the coaches of Miami and Michigan. Some lawmakers are demanding for an inquiry.
Yeah, Congressman Bill Pascrell, who is a New Jersey Democrat, he chairs the Ways and Means Committee Oversight Panel. He has sent letters to the presidents of Michigan State and University of Miami looking for information about the huge contracts that the football coaches have gotten. $89 million for Mario Cristobal and $95 million for Michigan State's Mel Tucker. The question he has in mind here is the contrast to the benefits received by student athletes, but also the fact that these schools have tax-exempt status and whether the compensation packages we're talking about here, $89 million and $95 million, fit in with the school's mission of being schools and not-for-profit organizations when you've got these outsized compensation packages.
And you guys know me. I'm all about get all the money you can while you can. But, Lynchy, is this on the line?
I don't think so, because these coaches are producers. Think of them as someone that produces money for an insurance company. The more you produce, the more bigger commission you get. I'll throw a couple numbers at you right now. The Big Ten, where Michigan State plays, brought in $768 million this year. Each school received $54 million. And that money just doesn't go to the athletic department. It goes to faculty. It goes to infrastructure. It goes to new facilities. The ACC, where Miami is, every school gets $32 million before they even sell a ticket. So that's the argument on the other side of the fence there, that this is going for the greater good of the university, and these coaches are producers that produce teams that generate revenue, which benefits the school university.
And by the way, congratulations, Georgia, for winning the national championship, beating Alabama to win the title. And let's move now from football to baseball, and there is chatter that Apple is said to be in serious talks with Major League Baseball for broadcast rights, Scarlett.
Yeah, these are games that ESPN will no longer be broadcasting, some weekday national games. ESPN will no longer have regular Monday and Wednesday games, so potentially Apple might pick this up. We know Amazon, for instance, one of those streamers, has picked up NFL games, so maybe Apple is next. And if Apple joins in, that opens the door completely to all these streamers, because these companies have plenty of cash.
I was laughing, Scarlett Lynchy, because I was thinking the games that are not going to be broadcast, like those Tiger games. You won't see too many of those coming out. But this is a big deal, Lynchy, for Apple.
It is. And one of the reasons they are getting rid of the Monday and Wednesday games is they have the new contract with the National Hockey League, as well as the NBA. So this is a great opportunity. And Major League Baseball is looking for younger demographics. And who better to go after via streaming than the young people? Young people don't watch conventional television. They watch everything on their pads. They stream everything. So this may bring in a younger audience, and that's what baseball desperately needs.
You know what? Given that Ted Lasso is kind of the face of Apple TV, I totally foresee some kind of promo with Ted Lasso and baseball games and baseball teams.
I like that.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see them also doing something down the road with soccer and actual soccer games.
Yes.
And get Ted Lasso. I could see that coming out.
That's but, you know, before any of that happens, don't they have to sort out the work stoppage at the MLB first?
Yep.
Yeah, and right now there isn't anyone in baseball that can comment on anything, whether they bought a case of baseballs or a salary negotiation, because there's a blackout on that right now. And, of course, spring training, we are probably just about a month away from spring training, so there should be a lot of activity and a lot of negotiation going on, or the gates will remain locked when spring training is scheduled to open sometime around Valentine's Day.
You know what spring training means for me? Talk about the Daytona 500.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, All right. I'll be good. This guy doesn't need any information. I'm not kidding. Usually you hear that cliche, and then we bring on the butcher from Gallatin, Tennessee, and he's talking about the sale in his meat market. No. This guy, you don't need an introduction. All I need to say is he has won the Super Bowl two times for the New York Giants. He is Eli Manning. Eli, thank you so much, sir, for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Yeah, sure thing. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be on.
The irony was, I was just doing a story on this, and our producer extraordinaire, Ariel, said, hey, we got Eli if we want to do a segment. I'm like, oh, yes, Lordy, we do. So so we are so grateful. And I want to start with it because, you know, you took time out to join Brand Velocity Partners. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, so it's a private equity company. I got to know Brand Velocity Partners through a investment in a company called Barbecue Guys, in 2020. And so kind of during that time, I, you know, recently retired, and I always had an interest in business and wanted to learn a little bit more of which field I might want to be kind of, possibly get into, and just see if there's interest in there or something I'd want to work at and learn more about. And so, just got to know the team there at BVP, and kind of got to watch everything through Barbecue Guys as it was, going through the process they were buying them and trying to grow that company through marketing, and so it just I was very interested in it, and they were great. And so eventually, after kind of sitting in on other meetings and other calls, and just thought we'd make a great team. So became a partner there, and it's been fun just trying to, I think I can be helpful in expanding, their existing relationships. And I love the fact that they try to grow companies, through marketing execution. They have a marketing background, and also they invest in the employees, and they have a program called Share the Gains, where 10% of the carried interest from BVP goes to the employees, and not the upper management, but kind of the rest of the employees. And so, it just made sense to me, from the marketing standpoints, what I majored in college, doing commercials and being, part of marketing during my NFL career. And then also just an emphasis on the employees. When you have a company, or I relate it to football, when you have, when you win a championship, it's not just the players that get the ring, but the people in the training room, the people in the equipment room, the people in the film room, they all get a ring also. They all get to say, we won a championship. And I think that's what you want in a company. Everybody feels like they're part of the overall goal and the overall success of a company when it does well.
I think it's so interesting because we talk to a lot of pro athletes, former pro athletes, celebrities, and we knew that most of you would end up doing something with, crypto, think Aaron Rodgers, Odell Beckham Jr., a SPAC, A-Rod, certainly, or private equity, Steve Young, and now you. What's notable, and you mentioned this, is that you are a full-time partner of BVP. You're not an advisor, you're not a consultant. So describe what your day-to-day looks like. I mean, this will be your full-time day job, and ManningCast becomes kind of your part-time job, doesn't it?
Well, I think the good thing about the ManningCast and so far with BVP is that, it is kind of remote right now. You're not traveling all over the world with ManningCast. I do it from my house. I watch film on my own just throughout the week. Unless BVP asks, for me to jump on a call, from 8:15 to 11:30 at night, on 10 Mondays out of the year. I mean, that's kind of my time, and I can't make that call. And I think they know that. And so, I mean, I think, this is not a endorsement. I am on calls with meetings. We're on chats, we're on calls as a group, I'm on calls with other companies, learning about, hearing their stories, talking to CEOs and presidents and seeing, then discussing with BVP whether this looks like a good fit, if we think we could grow the company. And so obviously right now, it's a big learning curve for me. I think it's, when they're talking about, earnings, and they're talking about EBITDA and understanding, all these things. So there's still, a lot for me to learn from that aspect. I think, talking about the marketing potential of companies makes a little bit more sense to me. And I tend to, have more to add on that side of it, just because I've been in that world a little bit longer. But it's all the process, of kind of learning this new language, learning this new playbook. And I'm excited about that. And always kind of asking for tasks, because, what's the best way to get up to speed on everything that they're doing. And I take a lot of notes, just got, like I was in football, take a lot of notes, ask a lot of questions, and the whole team. And I think that's why I chose maybe a smaller private equity, just because, the guys, you kind of know who you can ask certain questions to. The team has been so great at just kind of teaching me, answering my questions, getting me up to speed, and want to get me up and going to help the company.
Hey, Eli, it's Mike Lynch up in Boston. With you jumping aboard here with BVP, will most of your targets now be sports-related, or is it any field?
You know, it's any field. It's really more it's mostly consumer-facing companies so far, and we're looking at companies with at least $10 million in EBITDA. But, you know, I think obviously the sports field definitely resonates with me. And you see a lot of that, you know, a lot of movement right now in the sports world, but in the, you know, which is kind of new, which is in the franchise of companies and private equity linking together. And you see it in basketball and baseball and soccer and overseas. But obviously it's not happened in football and the NFL yet. It's not allowed, but you know, it's, I think obviously with the valuation of these companies getting so high, it's hard. You know, it's hard for an individual buyer to come in and buy a whole franchise. The costs are so much, and these owners, you know, can sell little portions of it to get capital to help build a new indoor facility or, you know, buy the land around stadiums, to build, you know, better kind of, themes and amusement for the fans, making a better, game day experience for the people, and kind of invest in their own franchise. So it's an interesting field that, you know, we'll definitely pursue and be a part of that in the franchise world and in just in the general sports business as well.
So we've talked to you about your new role as partner with private equity firm BVP, but the Manning name, I mean, it's all over the place. You and your brother, you have gotten into the liquor business, and the family name is tied to sports betting and Caesars Sportsbook. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, new with the, you know, with Caesars Sportsbook, and they've obviously hit in New York and opened up over the weekend, which is exciting. And that whole world is expanding. And you know, if you watch any football game on a weekend, you see the all the different sports books that are, you know, being endorsed and on commercials. But, you know, I think it's, for a long time, people have been betting on sports. I think it's, you know, good that you have a kind of a reliable name and a name you can trust like Caesars. And I also love the fact that, you know, on its app, it has responsible gaming tools where you can set limits. You can set time limits, deposit limits, spending limits, where, you know, my whole focus and what I stress is, you know, doing it responsibly, knowing your limits on what you can do, and understand, you know, just how it all works and setting those so it can be controlled. But, you know, it's been fun to obviously, you know, anytime you can do stuff with your family and shoot a commercial, you know, with your dad and your brothers, it's exciting. And then, you know, Peyton and I, Coop, have kind of invested, yeah, as you said, in the bourbon and Sweetens Cove, you know, which has been a lot of fun and really an initiative Peyton is kind of leading the way on. But it's been a fun business to learn about.
It's also been a fun broadcast to watch you and your brother on Monday nights. The Manning cast, as it's become known, has really become its own phenomenon, to the point where there are reports that A-Rod may get his own Manning cast on ESPN when it comes to baseball. We know you're contracted with ESPN for 3 years, and there are reports that Amazon may want to lure you guys over as well. I know you probably can't comment on that. I'm curious about the workflow in putting together the weekly Manning cast. What is that like? How early do you guys sit down for meetings? Do you script out a lot of it? Do you decide who you're going to book weeks in advance, or is it kind of spur of the moment? Walk us through some of the prep work.
Well, normally, you know, obviously it's a little different where you have guests, and so you want to try to, you know, get those guests, give them a little heads up, and you know, it kind of depends on who's playing. You might want to get a former player from one of the teams that's on that week. You know, this week we're doing the first, you know, Monday Night Football playoff game that's ever happened, and we're calling it. And we got the Rams and Cardinals, and so it's been kind of a scramble to, all right, you know, what guests do we want to get? You know, who from maybe the Cardinals or you know, Rams, or just that NFC. Kind of West Division that, you know, might know these teams. And so it's a little bit of a, you know, scramble trying to get, you know, who will be good, how many guests do you want to have? So we're trying to figure out those things this week. And, you know, a lot of it is really more just, you know, just on my own. I'm going to watch film on both teams, and, you know, offensively and defensively, just to get scheme and understand who some of their players are. It's a little different than a normal telecast, cause, what they do on TV. I don't, necessarily. I remember when I was doing some practice runs at this, and I was talking about, I think we were doing watching a Vikings game, and I'm saying, hey, you can see Barr here is, playing the hook flat area, and they're saying, no, don't say names. Most of the fans or most people watching this don't know who Barr is. Just say number 54. Say the number. I'm like, so I don't need to know everybody's name. They're like, nope, you don't need to know everybody's name. I'm like, that's perfect. I mean, that makes my life a lot easier. So, you're definitely, the fact that you're not talking about every play, you're just really talking about the big plays. You're talking about schemes, maybe a cool defense or what's going through the quarterback's mind, clock management. And really, so you're watching film for that, but really a lot of the preparation is, because it's a little foreign for us, is coming up with questions and kind of thinking of what are the themes that we're going to ask these guests coming on, that they're going to, trigger funny stories or maybe, if you have a connection or a past relationship with them, that might bring up a good story. So more of the prep is really just trying to figure out, how to ask questions and that might, we can get a funny video or a funny story associated with the people that are coming on the telecast.
So not so different from how we prep, Michael.
Yeah, that's about right.
Eli, Dave Gettleman retired, and I'm not talking specifically about the Giants, but we see people like John Lynch in San Francisco, John Elway in Denver. Any interest at all getting into front office of a National Football League team?
It's an interesting. Interesting business, and it's just one of those things. I don't know how you kind of test try it, and how do you slowly get in that to see if it's something you're good at or something you're interested in. I think it sounds good. It's like, oh, it's football, it's GM, it's it makes perfect sense. But it's also, you're kind of in charge, obviously, of evaluating players. And it sounds good. You kind of think, well, I could look at quarterbacks and I see guys, I might be able to tell who's a good quarterback, but I've been wrong before on guys. And it's also not just the quarterback. It's, hey, can you look, you got to watch 50 college offensive guards to see if, which one, we should take in the fourth round. And, it's like, it probably really tests, you think you like football until you got to watch, two straight days of offensive guard and decide whether, which one's the best and who should we draft in the fourth round. So it's, it's those things, that you just don't know. Just because you played the game and played a long time, does it make you a good GM? I mean, you kind of got to, go all in on that. And it's a full-time gig you're doing things that you've never really done before or researched before. So I think it's interesting. It's just, I don't know how you kind of get prepared for it.
Third down and 5. Pressure from Thomas off the edge. Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree inside the 25.
Oh, my God. Eli, man, I don't know how he got out of there. I thought he was on the ground, and then he came out of the pile and just slings it.
Yeah, see, he caught it on his head. Yeah, if you could see in the radio world Lynchy and that vein popping out of his forehead, oh, it's great. Super Bowl 42, that miracle pass. Let's continue our conversation with two-time Super Bowl winning MVP Eli Manning. Yeah, he was there. Eli, if you want to see Mike Lynch have a nostril flare, it was great. We got to bring this up. See, Lynchy, it is, in case anybody doesn't know, Lynchy is like a dynamo, and he is well known in the Boston sports world. He's been covering sports for years. Exactly.
Sorry, you're breaking up, Michael. I can't
see. I would be thrown out of the booth, guys, because I would be all of a sudden shouting, He caught the ball off his damn head. He caught it off his head. I am saying he caught the ball off his damn head. David Tyree, I've never seen that before. But I bring this up because you have those great Super Bowl moments. And, of course, now that we're in the playoffs, we're about to have another Super Bowl coming. Take us through what it means business-wise for the sponsorships and all that involved for not only just the team, but for the league in general and for TV?
Well, first off, you know, the play to Tyree, it worked out just like we practiced it all week. Yeah, you know, it's just amazing. You know, Coach Coughlin just designed that play. He told the offensive line, don't block anybody, really. Eli kind of run around and you're going to escape some blocks because you're so mobile, and then throw it to Tyree's helmet. And we all thought it looked at him a little crazy, but, you know, hey, that's why he's one of the great coaches of all time. He drew it up.
Which one in the practice field had you hold the jersey?
But like you said, I mean, this is obviously an exciting time, for everybody when you get into the playoffs of any sports. But, there's nothing better as a player just kind of knowing, hey, you're one of the few teams that gets to go in and practice today, getting ready, preparing for these games. And it's an excitement. And it's also for the organization and for the sponsors involved and everybody that's in. Obviously, you got the Super Bowl coming up, which is just great for sponsors and the television commercials and the events going on around in Los Angeles and SoFi Stadium and the things that will be going on and the buzz around there. So it's such a playoff time. Is such an exciting time. It's good for everybody. It's great for the teams that have made it. It's also kind of this week is the time where, you see coaches getting, fired and GMs getting fired and, hey, who are we going to sign? And so, other teams are starting to hire a new coach and interview new coaches. So the teams that didn't make the playoffs, there's big changes going on and excitement from that sense as well. It's just a wonderful time to be around and be a part of it.
Eli, final question to you, at least for me on ManningCast. You guys clearly have done an incredible job with just getting attention and getting people excited about new ways of watching football and appreciating what you bring to the game. But a couple of players might be kind of concerned, given the Manning curse on the ManningCast. Players are 0-7 after coming onto your broadcast. Aaron Rodgers, week 17, lost week 18. So when you talk about looking through your Rolodex and thinking through who you're going to bring on, what kind of reception do you get when you reach out to folks and they're kind of like a little bit weary because, they want to make sure that bad luck doesn't come their way given what's been happening all season?
Yeah, we obviously, playing sports, you can get superstitious. I know I could, and I think we were 0-1, quarterbacks were 0-5, or the players had been on, and so it hadn't really become an issue, but we had discussed it, and we're like, all right, we got to get a must win. We got to get a must win player. So, we were thinking, all right, we got the Bills, Josh Allen, they're playing the Jaguars, and so that's a win. And then when they lost that game, I'm like, we have a problem on our hands now. And I said, I can't go and ask a player to come on the show, knowing that, the media might hit him or it might be a distraction to the player. And I said, we don't want that. That's not what this is about. I think in the last week with the Aaron Rodgers, I think there should be an asterisk besides that one, just because he only played a half of the game and it didn't really matter if they won or lost. He played well.
No. I think
that's a lot of nuance there.
I'm a Lions fan. No.
So it should be a little asterisk on that one, but we're not getting any. We have had coaches. It does not apply to coaches. I think that should be noted on there. Coaches have come on and gone and won the following week. So, but so I don't think we're going to get any current players before any playoff games for this week, obviously. So we'll stick with the maybe some players, retired players out of the playoff race, or maybe a coach out of that aren't in the playoffs but that can give some good analysis on the game itself.
Oh, Vegas bookmakers are breathing a sigh of relief now.
All right, so final question, Eli. I saw the cast when you had Snoop Dogg on. And at the end, Snoop Dogg presented you with a gift from Los Angeles. He took this gigantic necklace off. Has it arrived yet, or are you going to get it from him in person? And will you wear it?
I will wear it, no doubt. You get a birthday present from Snoop Dogg, you wear it, and you wear it proudly. So I think there has been some communication, and I think it is en route. So I look forward to getting it, and hopefully get it in time for the game on Monday night, where I can break it out and show everybody my new presents.
Love it.
Oh man, Eli Manning, two-time Super Bowl champ. Thank you, man. That is really neat. We are really tickled you came to join us, sir. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. That was a lot of fun. Thanks so much for having me on.
Eli Manning, thank you again. That was really neat to talk with him. And I always learn a lot every time you talk to somebody at the caliber of Eli Manning, Scarlett, who is a legend, not just in New York, but all in the NFL.
You know, that was one of my top favorite interviews, along with Steve Young. I think maybe it has something to do with NFL quarterbacks, but also he might be a two-time winning Super Bowl champion, but he's also a peer, because he kind of broke down his process for how he prepares for Manning Cast. That was really interesting. It's kind of how the sausage gets made. And I liked hearing about how they, too, have to figure out who they're going to book and figure out how they're going to frame the request to potential guests who, at this point, might be a little bit reluctant given the track record of what happens to people who show up on their show.
The Manning curse, as they call it. You know, Bill Belichick has a great saying, the price of success is always paid in advance.
Yes.
And it's great to hear how they don't just show up on Monday night at 8 o'clock and sit down with a bowl of popcorn. You know, they're working on this thing during the week, trying to get the good guests, you know, what kind of angles we're going to take. And some of the guests they've had over the course of this season have been incredible. I mean, they've got Al Michaels on, Bill Parcells, Commissioner Roger Goodell, Snoop Dogg, as you heard. And I can't wait to see Eli going with that chain around his neck. We'll see if he's wearing it on the Monday Night Playoff game.
Another rapper, Flavor Flav. That's what I'm talking about. I always think of Eli, and he mentioned something when he was talking about his family. And I always think of that ESPN promo with Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, and his father, Archie Manning. Now, anybody that has seen it knows what I'm talking about. And they're on this tour of ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
And the Peyton brothers are in the back, and they're goofing off like two kids. And, you know, is pushing all this. And then all of a sudden, Archie does this slow turnaround. Like, what are you two doing? It was one of the funniest things. I still remember that to this day. And I think that's one of the things that makes the Manning family so endearing to me. I can't think of another family in football that is at the caliber of the Mannings. And a big salute to them.
No, they are America's family. And it's been a long time since anyone tuned into a football game to hear the announcers. You'd have to go back probably to Howard Cosell and Don Meredith and Frank Gifford. And now on Monday night, specifically on ESPN2, that's the only reason you tune into that channel, is to hear and watch the two Mannings go back and forth.
I think it's interesting that we still generically call it an alternative broadcast. How long before we drop that alternative?
You're right.
That might be the new way we're going to get
the
announcing. I like that.
My goal is to be the number one pick. That's something I've been dreaming of since a kid.
It feels better to be number one than number five.
I wear the number because of Mike.
We have a chance to go for three in a row.
Good numbers at a good time.
When I first started wearing that number, I was just happy and proud.
Bloomberg Business of Sports, the number of the week.
Well, 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 well.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Guess what time it is? It
is time. Lynchy is smiling in Boston.
Number of the week. And, of course, we've been talking about Eli Manning. He joined us for the show. So here is the question. When he first joined the league from 2004 to 2010, he got a contract. What I want to know is, what was the average salary per year that he got for that contract? Yeah, I'm not going to tell you how fat the contract was, because then it's going to give it all away.
Can you give us any details, like how many years the contract was for?
From 2004 to 2010, so I'm going to say 7 years.
Oh, okay. All right. So. Got it.
I know people are saying, well, that's six. No, that's 7 years if you count it up.
So it's one contract through that period.
Right.
Okay.
Well, it's a seven-year package, but when you break it down, this was the average. 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010.
Ladies always before gentlemen.
Oh, come on. That's just... I'm going to say $7.8 million.
Lynchy?
I'm going to go $8.5 million.
Well, Scarlett, you won.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Now, we got to throw out the Price is Right rules because, yeah, both of you guys went over. But the average salary is $7.7 million.
Oh my God!
$1 million.
That was so close. That's the closest I've ever been.
It's exact. $7,714,286. The signing bonus, by the way, guaranteed, was $3 million. I'm proud of you, Scarlett.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Oh, what's wrong with you? You like grumbled in the microphone.
I mean, if we had to do a tally, right? I mean, it's still like Lynchy 28, Scarlett 2.
Yeah, but what have you done for me lately?
What have you done lately? That's all that matters. You know, you're only as good as your last broadcast.
Yes.
Yeah, we just threw Lynchy all over the place. I threw out his game, man. We did the Tyree catch off his head.
I know. Scarlett, he's like, why did I come to work today?
That was great. This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports Show, and we're here each and every week at the same time, plus online wherever you get your podcasts. You can catch those Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. I'm Michael Barr on Twitter, at Big Barr Sports.
I'm the reigning champion of Numbers of the Week. I'm Scarlett Fu, at Scarlett Fu.
And I'm coming after you next week, Scarlett. Coming right after you. I'm Lynchy, and I'm not happy, and you can find me at WCBB.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for joining us. Tune in again next week for the latest on the stories moving big money in the world of sports. You're listening to Bloomberg Business Reports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.